918 on the Wake Up Zone, powered by all Four Seasons Garage stores. Visit FourSeasonsGarages.com to learn more. Mark Howard along with Blaine Bishop, Kevin Ingram off this week. Our producer, Jonathan Schaefer, making the magic, as always, from the Zone Studios. And let's bring in one of our favorite people, Hall of Fame writer Teresa Walker of the Associated Press. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you and Blaine doing in this fine, hot time?
We're great. We're, of course, sitting in air conditioning, so we're good to go. Teresa, right now the clock is ticking, of course, over at the Titans complex. John Robinson has less than a week to sign Derrick Henry. The 15th is his deadline. What do you think is going to happen?
I tend to think, because they've been talking all along and because Derrick signed his tender, I think it was April 2nd, you know, that all signs have been pointing that they would get a deal done. Now, that said, you know, getting down to the nitty-gritty, that's where, you know, you can want a deal, but until a deal is done and Derrick Henry's name is signed to that deal, nothing is set. So, you know, the closer we get, the more I start to worry. I'll be honest, I've been expecting a deal probably to come maybe the 14th, maybe even the 15th. They have until 3 p.m. on the 15th, next Wednesday, to get this deal done. If not, you know, guys, Blaine, I don't know about you, but it almost feels like maybe with the way we keep seeing people testing and you know, all the tests, particularly in MLS, and people opting out in Major League Baseball, you know, is this maybe something that at a certain point Derrick Henry says, you know what, maybe I just play it safe, sit out this year, and let them tag me for next year when hopefully we've got a vaccine, and, you know, that way we can get busy with business, and we'll know what the salary cap is. You know, so there's still a lot of moving parts to this.
Mm, yeah, good point.
And there's also the aspect, Teresa, too, as to how each side views Henry. In other words, his representation will tell you that in this passing NFL, there are smaller defensive players, which makes Henry a huge asset, along with the Titans' running game. The Titans are saying, hey, you're a great runner, but as a pass receiver, you know, your numbers aren't up there, you know, with the Ezekiel Elliotts, the Christian McCaffreys, the Saquon Barkleys of the world.
Well, absolutely, Mark, and that is important. You know, now how much, you know, that's the one thing we've heard all along is that, you know, Derrick Henry, you know, they didn't need him to catch the ball at Alabama, and that's not something that they've really worked into his game here with the Titans. But the one thing we heard Mike Vrabel say since he was hired is he wants the Titans to be a better screen team. You know, kind of think that's why they drafted Jarrenson Evans out of Appalachian State. He's a guy who, you know, he can make some catches with his hands. So you just kind of be content with, you know, that similarity that you put Aaron Evans on the field, you know, they're going to throw the ball to him. You know, Derrick Henry, maybe they throw the ball to him. You know, we've seen when they do get the ball in his hands outside on a screen, I mean, he could take it to the house. He did it in Cleveland, and you had one that was a drop in, I think it was the Jacksonville game in Jacksonville, that if he had taken that, probably another touchdown. So if you can improve that part of his game, then, yeah, he'll be even that much more powerful. But it is a split. You know, the numbers are clear. That has not been a big part of his game, and that's one of the things that makes Christian McCaffrey so incredibly valuable and worth an awful lot of money. So, you know, that matters into the negotiation, you know, and that how much that ends up costing Derrick Henry is going to be very interesting to see.
Do you think Clowney's coming here? The Browns look like they're out of it. There are obviously going to be other teams interested, the Raiders, apparently, maybe even Seattle. But with as much as John Robinson and Mike Vrabel have talked about him, do you feel like the Titans really love their chances of landing him?
I think they do, because now, you know, the Raiders, they're kind of strapped for money under their cap. Seattle, you know, yes, they'd like to try to fit him in, and you can always move some people around to and redo some contracts to find some money. But it, you know, it still does feel like the Titans are a natural, you know, spot for him. Why? They were just playing in an AFC championship game. Clowney has kind of made it clear he wants to be with a team that can have a chance to win a Super Bowl. And the Titans can point to Clowney and say, dude, you come here, you could be that piece that gets us to a Super Bowl. You know, and he knows Mike Vrabel. His best season was under Mike Vrabel when Vrabel was defensive coordinator in Houston in 2017. You know, he knows, you know, you could, you know, but the challenge has been getting him in so you could do a physical and take a look at him. You're not going to give him a multi-million dollar contract that you've had a chance to have your doctors look him over. You know, he had the surgery right after the playoffs finished last year for the Seahawks. You want to make sure he's healthy. These videos that they keep posting of him working out, they're fine. But you don't know just how healthy he is. And I'm not signing a $500 check, let alone a multi-million dollar check, but I've had a chance to look things over.
We're speaking to Hall of Famer Teresa Walker, who covers the Titans for the Associated Press.
Yes, Teresa, naturally everyone saw that the Ivy League, you know, has canceled all fall sports. And so I'm interested to hear your thoughts on how does it affect the Power Five, and not actually football, but how does it affect a sport like basketball that's a fall spring sport in the Power Five?
Blaine, they're watching. I mean, you know, that's the thing. Expecting the Ivy League to make a decision and announce something this week, you know, we've been checking in with all the Power Fives. And, you know, Greg Sankey, as he said, you know, we're monitoring, you know, late July. Players back on campus kind of working out and you know, their summer conditioning that they're doing. But, you know, they're watching the numbers. And right now the numbers are going up, 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 particularly in the SEC territory, out, you know, from Florida to Texas. Tennessee's numbers are going up, you know, Alabama, Mississippi, you name it, you know, Carolina, all the numbers keep going the wrong direction. And if that keeps up, then guess what? Not only may Power Five be deciding, particularly the SEC, saying, you know what, we simply can't, or, you know, we might have schools saying, you know what, we've got to go online. I monitored the UT Board of Trust meetings a couple weeks ago, and they said, you know, we're going to be having 30 to 40% of our classes online, but we're going to have students on campus. And guess what? If they suddenly decide, you know what, we can't risk having, you know, students and professors on campus, if they were to make a change, then guess what? They aren't going to put players on the field. They're not going to be playing football games. They're not going to be playing basketball games, because then suddenly it's nakedly apparent that these guys are out there to help produce money for these universities. So, you know, at this point, stay tuned. You know, we've seen so much canceled this year. You know, yesterday it was the Ryder Cup that they had, tried to reschedule. The one thing we've learned this year is anything can be canceled at the drop of a hat. Now we're waiting to see if Nashville SC is going to be able to play in this tournament down in Orlando. You know, so guys, if you want sports, I'm serious, put on the mask. And if you want your kids to go to school, put on a mask.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we're talking about canceling sports, let's say they do push back or cancel college football. Do you think spring ball or spring football is a viable option to play the season?
Well, it could be, but guess what? Not for the NFL's purposes. If the NFL is able to go ahead and have their season and then college football pushes back to the spring, you know, that completely throws, you know, what does the NFL do with the draft? Does Trevor Lawrence play? You know, shoot, Garantano is another guy. Does he play, or does he maybe try to, you know, see what the NFL thinks of him for next season? So, you know, that happens. Then we're looking at a complete, you know, the calendar's been thrown into a blender already at this point. If college football gets pushed to the spring, then you know, guess what? Up is going to be down, down is going to be up, and we're just going to have to hang on and see what happens.
Well, you saw that Stanford and some other schools canceled other sports because of the pandemic entirely. Do you see or have you heard anything locally about any of the schools in Nashville that may potentially cancel some of their other sports in general, like MTSU, Vanderbilt, UT, you name it?
Not yet, Blaine. You know, Tennessee, even down to Memphis, you know, the thought seems to be that they're doing okay right now. You know, yes, they've lost some money because of the pandemic, but they've also, you know, lost, you know, some of the expenses that they thought they were going to have, they didn't have. You know, Vanderbilt, the baseball team didn't, you know, have their SEC schedule. So those kind of expenses were saved. Now, the problem is going to be if, you know, football is the big money maker. I mean, you know, Memphis had good crowds. Tennessee was expecting a good attendance this year. Why? Florida and Alabama are coming to town. So while they've got a home schedule that, you know, isn't the prettiest with Charlotte and Furman and all, you know, Alabama usually packs a stadium, and so does Florida. So, you know, that's, I think some of this is still to be seen. You know, we have not heard of coaches, you know, getting pay cuts for any of the schools in this state. It's something I've been monitoring closely. But at this point, no. That said, those things could obviously change depending on, you know, once they see the losses start adding up, then yeah, some cuts will likely be coming.
Mm. Well, speaking of Memphis, I guess lastly for me is what do the Grizzlies think about the bubble and the policies and procedures and testing that they have in place down in Orlando?
They like it. Jaren Jackson Jr. is their player rep, and he said that, you know, they have a lot of trust in what the NBA has set up to help keep them safe down there. Justice Winslow is a guy who has yet to make his appearance in a Grizzlies uniform, was one game away right when they shut down. He's going to appear in Portland, and they shut things down. So, you know, he had some questions, but he was on the plane when they went to Orlando on Wednesday, and they play their first game July 31st. This is a young team. Very young team, relatively, so not that far removed from AAU days. So this may play into their strong suit. You know, not a ton of family members. A couple of them do have some young babies, but they're ready to go and try to play some basketball, because this is a team that started last summer thinking summer league title in Vegas. They won that. They were in rebuilding process, and now their goal is to try to get the eighth seed and accelerate their rebuilding process. And you know, they've got a tough road ahead of them in Orlando to do that.
We're on with AP pro football writer Teresa Walker.
Teresa, we haven't talked a lot. Baseball, it's happened. The NBA, it's happened. But do you think we're going to see a significant number of opt-outs in the NFL?
It's a great question. I mean, David Price in Major League Baseball with Ryan Zimmerman. You know, we've seen some people opting out in the NBA. I mean, shoot, is anyone still with the Brooklyn Nets? So got to think that, yes, there's going to be somebody who opts out in NFL. You know, if you've got a family member who has a health problem, or, you know, you've got a young baby at home. Dennis Kelly, he and his wife had a baby earlier this year. So, you know, we don't know what somebody's, looking at in their personal life, and they may have to opt out. We're still waiting to hear the exact date that, NFL players have to decide to opt out. So, yeah, that's still some of the things that are being worked out between the players and in the league. So stay tuned. You know, it's going to be very interesting to see how leagues, particularly the NFL, this offseason has been perfect for them. They've had a normal offseason, with the exception that they didn't get on the field to do their offseason program. They're about to run into, the realities of the pandemic and how they can navigate this safely.
What about how interesting is it going to be to watch camp and the teams trying to adhere to the social distancing rules, and what drills are going to look like, what instruction is going to look like with everybody so spaced out?
Well, Mark, and here's the thing, some of the players are saying, let's just pull off and not do team drills, because let's just do team 11-on-11 once we get in the game. So yeah, this is going to look very, very different, because football is a hands-on sport. What do people love about Mike Vrabel? He's out there putting on a chest pad, and he's working with guys and showing technique. He's trying to pound that ball out of Derrick Henry's hands. That's up close and in people's faces. So it's going to be very curious to see what it looks like. We're still trying to figure out what it looks like for the media watching training camp. So, and the Titans, among all the NFL teams, they're doing the expansion of their practice facility, so their space is almost even more to premium and tighter than ever. So, I think they're still working through how that's actually going to look and what we end up seeing of it. So the one thing I know for sure, thanks to the Pro Football Writers Association, is we won't be talking to players in person. There will be no more scrums after practice coming off the field or talking to people in the locker room this year. We're going to be doing those availabilities virtually. So welcome to Zoom interviews, baby.
Mm. How about covering the Predators who are going to be in Edmonton, and it looks like even the broadcast team won't be with them. So covering that, through a playoff series is going to be interesting, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you put those teams into their bubbles. They're not, Pete Weber and those guys look like they're going to be here. We're still waiting, AP, to figure out how we handle those. Guys, I might be riding Predator, quote, home games when they're playing Arizona, and then my colleague in Arizona might be riding when the Coyotes are the, quote, home team. But I was talking to an Olympic historian earlier this week for a story I'm working on, and he pointed out in 1960, you know, the Rome Olympics where Wilma Rudolph starred, you know, Jim McKay narrated those tapes the next day because they had to fly the video to New York from Rome. So at least we'll be able to see the games live. But yeah, we're about to do remote world for, I think, NBA, NHL. The one good thing is it looks like if we have NFL season is that, you know, some of us will be in the press box, but it's going to be socially distant.
And finally, I got to ask you, you've lived here long enough. You're a huge baseball fan, big Cubs fan, but are you taking this Nashville Major League Baseball initiative a little more seriously now when you hear that this group wants to build its own stadium and not ask the taxpayers to do it?
That is a huge, massive step in the right direction, Mark, because, yes, that was the one component that was truly missing. It's like, it's one thing to say we've got Dave Stewart, Tony La Russa. They added Dave Dombrowski earlier this week, Alberto Gonzalez. I mean, it's this all-star cast of people trying to do this. But the big component is two things, you know, a stadium. And, you know, with Nashville, you know, pandemic, they're looking at a tax increase. You know, the soccer stadium, you know, it seems to have gotten the last money out of Nashville that you're going to get when it comes to a stadium. So they had to come up with a way to do this. And, you know, their drawings they released were great, but you got to have some there. The second part will be a team. And I still think that if they can come up with a stadium component, Tampa is a team that I don't think this splitting between Montreal and Tampa is actually going to work. It's a sky in the pie kind of thing that I don't get, and it doesn't make sense. Nashville could, with a stadium, slip in and maybe get that team to relocate.
Yeah, either or maybe they can be the 32nd major league team by expansion.
It's all possible, but the key is you got to have the ownership group, you got to have money, and you got to have stadium plan.
Absolutely. Teresa, always a pleasure. Great stuff. Stay safe, and hopefully we'll see you at training camp.
Same here, and you guys take care. Appreciate your time.
All right. Teresa Walker, Hall of Fame writer from the Associated Press, covers the Titans, but really covers everything around the state. Terrific writer, better person. You know, I guess, guys, as a baseball fan, if I had the choice, I'd love to get the Tampa Bay Rays. Because they're not only good, but they've got some of the best prospects in the game. Their prospect pool is amazing. Their problem has always been they can only keep them for so long and lose them in free agency. So maybe if the team moved here, it'd have a little more financial wherewithal, and they could bring a really, really good team here. But we'll see what happens. All right, straight ahead, we'll talk about some of the other breaking news around. One of the stories involves Tiger Woods. 9:37 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone.